Hi, folks. Good to be with you. My name is Luke. I'm on our team, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit today. Hey, we've just spent a number of weeks, all of our fall, really, in the Gospel of Luke, and we're about to turn into a different season. So let's look back a little bit today at what we've heard and consider the season that we're going into as well. There's a phrase that we ended with last week that has stuck with me to some degree. And the end of Luke 19, in verse 48, we hear that Luke writes that all the people hung on Jesus' words. All the people hung on Jesus' words. Some folks make single life look good. They build community. They contribute in distinct and vital ways. They generally have a good time. In my 20s, and in my early 30s, I was unmarried, but I confess I wasn't always happy about it. But don't get me wrong, single life was rich with meaning and purpose. For example, one November, I did something I'd never done before. I decided to open the lectionary and commit to a little project. The lectionary is a listing of Bible passages for every season, each day of the year. And in late November and all through December, you'll find readings for Advent, the season just ahead of Christmas in the Christian calendar year. Advent begins next Sunday, by the way. So each day, I would pick up the Bible and I would do the lectionary readings. You'd read the prophets and the Psalms, the Gospels, and so on. And then, because I had time on my hands, I'd chew on those readings for a while. And then make a little poem out of them, weaving together the messages and images coming through. I followed the readings and wrote a new poem inspired by them every day in Advent that year. I wrote around 28 in total. Hunched over the Bible by candlelight in the dark of winter, writing little poems to correspond. That's when I felt really single, I can tell you. All kidding aside, and understanding that that kind of thing might not be everybody's cup of tea, I do have to tell you that that was one of the most meaningful Advent and Christmas seasons that I had ever experienced. As I pored over the Bible, it poured into me, and I saw just how interconnected and creative the whole book is. Through careful attention and interaction with Scripture, I spent time with God that year, which changed me. I saw Jesus in new lights. I was drawn into his history and future for the world in the middle of my present. It turned out actually not to be a sad and lonely holiday season after all, but quite the opposite. It was among the most profound and enriching Decembers that I can ever remember. Meeting Jesus, getting to know Jesus through his word has been our church's focus this fall as we've spent time again in Luke's gospel. These past 2 months in Luke chapter 18 and 19, we've read about Jesus doing a number of things. We've read about him healing blind people, making friends with dubious tax collectors, telling deeply challenging parables. We've read about him riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, the city in uproar. Last week, we read about Jesus entering the temple and challenging the powers that be. We've seen Jesus weeping over Jerusalem because the city was headed in the wrong direction towards destruction. This spell in Luke's gospel has been another reminder of just how rich and packed the scriptures are, and at the center of them, Jesus. A strange, compelling, powerful figure who stands out from the rest and asks the world a question. Will you follow? As we come to the end of another run in the gospel together, the question is turned on us, just as it was turned on the people back then. Who is Jesus, and how are we responding to or receiving him? If you visit a tourist spot in a big city, there's a good chance you'll find a caricature artist. And for a small fee, you can sit to have your portrait drawn. What's drawn, however, might not be to your liking, because a caricature is a simplification or an exaggeration of certain features or qualities. So if you're self-conscious about one or two physical features, you can expect the caricature artist to pick up on them and highlight them. Your likeness has been oversimplified, or certain parts of you exaggerated out of context. A caricature portrait isn't a stab at realism, but is a different kind of art. At best, what's drawn is inaccurate. At worst, it's grotesquely distorted. Now, fun as caricature might be, we don't put those portraits in our passports. We use photos, a more accurate depiction to suit travel purposes. Here's the thing. It can be easy to caricature Jesus in our discussion or imagination of him. We can oversimplify, exaggerate, even entirely miss the point of his character and likeness. And those caricatures can get passed around until becoming so familiar with who we presume Jesus to be, we feel little need to take a closer look. One of the dangers of religious activity is cliche, where the God stuff starts feeling a bit uninspired and predictable. Been there, done that, bought the cheesy Christian t-shirt. But with attention to scripture, as we have spent this last fall, and a close reading of the Gospels in particular, we get not only an accurate and understanding of Jesus, but the God he displays in high definition. That's what we're aiming at least. Part of why we spend time in the Gospels is that we're trying to put away our caricatures of Jesus, our oversimplifications of him, and give ourselves the chance of encountering this incredibly dynamic figure who is anything but cliche and asks us the question, will you follow? So who have we seen in Luke 18 and 19 this fall? Well, first, I think we've seen someone you can't pin down. Even just over a chapter or two, you see how Jesus is not a two-dimensional character. He's complex. He's got sharp edges. He keeps you on your toes. And if Jesus really is God among us, as the Gospels lead us to believe, that probably shouldn't be surprising. As we heard the last couple of weeks, Jesus is not only Israel's messianic king riding into Jerusalem, but the very Lord of creation, the God who's made everything, turning up in his temple. Will we recognize his character and authority now? In Jesus, we meet someone full of compassion and passion. He's welcoming and spacious. He's exacting and challenging. He's humble and authoritative. He's making time for blind beggars. He's riding into Jerusalem as a king. He's walking around the temple like he owns the place. He's playing the music that we didn't compose. So as we look back on our time in Luke's gospel this fall, I'm struck, as I said, by that phrase that we heard at the very end of the passage last week. All the people hung on his words. But as Rick pointed out and mentioned, being entranced by Jesus is not the same as becoming a genuine disciple of Jesus. And we don't get to know Jesus through casual encounters. So one of the exercises that might be helpful for us as a community at the end of 8 weeks in the Gospels would be to ask ourselves a few questions if we haven't already. What have we noticed about Jesus? What have we been challenged by or comforted by? What about Jesus is clear to us now? And how is that shaping how we live? What can we do with what we have learned and received from Jesus in our spheres of influence today? Hanging on Jesus' words, being enamored with Jesus or interested in Jesus is step one. Step two is taking him seriously enough to let him actually shape and dictate our lives. My friend Leanne, who's one of our global workers now, likes to say, when we read the Bible and discuss its meaning, the question that should always follow is, so what? So this is a simple exercise that I've put in front of you today. And if you are doing something similar, consider using these questions as the calendar year shifts. You needn't have been here every Sunday to do this. These questions can simply keep us focused on Jesus as we follow along in the Gospels together and even take a little break now going into December. What do we know about Jesus today that we didn't know or understand before? And what is our part in letting Jesus' character and life press through our lives to one another and to our neighbor? What does it mean to move from being enamored by Jesus to imitating Jesus? As mentioned, and as we can see around us, Christmas is around the corner. Every year it's the same, isn't it? For some, all this Christmas hoopla is too soon and it's too much. Others have been playing Mariah Carey since September, and we will pray for those people. But we are now beginning to shift, aren't we? As next week is the first Sunday of Advent, the season that I mentioned earlier. It's no secret that Living Waters isn't a traditionally liturgical church, but we have often utilized the season of Advent in order to concentrate on Scripture and the centrality of Jesus' arrival among us this time of year. So Advent for us is less a static rule and more a helpful tool. For those unaware, Advent simply means arrival. It begins 4 weeks before Christmas Day and is a season traditionally characterized by a sense of waiting and longing for God and what God assures the world through Jesus: hope, peace, joy, love. You could describe Advent as the dark before the dawn, the candle burning brightly in a deep forest, the star way off in the black, the contrast and the quiet, a time to grieve and reflect, a time to hope and trust. In a world full of difficulty and darkness, Advent is the quiet confidence that God will come through. I waited patiently for the Lord, we read in Psalm 40. He turned to me and heard my cry. I mentioned how Advent was a helpful season for me back in my 20s. More recently, Advent became very accessible during the pandemic as those winters were dark, and sometimes lonely, uncertain, and all we could do was to hope for a brighter day. Well, another Advent season is on our doorstep, and the world can still feel pretty dark, can't it? So we're inviting you again to consider how we might grow in our understanding of trust of Jesus in a dark world during this season. The month before us can be fun and frantic, but it can also be deeply formational if we pay attention. What are ways we can be formed in Advent, as our society either directly or indirectly sheds a bit more light on Jesus' arrival among us? First, we want to invite you to scripture reading and prayer this next month. We've gathered together, actually, a few resources for us on the church website. You can go there and look for the Advent news item, and you'll see there links to several tools to engage in the season, from Bible reading plans to ideas for your family to join in with to embody the season together. How to bring the message of the season to life in your home in simple ways. So have a look and consider how the next month could be used to intentionally deepen things for you and your family as you read the Bible and pray with intention. If you have a desire for more, you know, these tools might help you put some flesh on the bones. As the carol says, can we prepare him room, even practically with our time and attention in this season? Secondly, want us today, as we kind of conclude, to think about three words in the coming season. This season is a season to long. It's a season to belong, and it's a season to land. Advent is a season to long. One of the things we've just seen in Luke 19 is Jesus literally weeping over Jerusalem as he is grieved with a longing for change. And when we crack the Psalms, the great prayer book of the Bible, we see longing all over the place. The scriptures make lots of room for longing. It doesn't paper over the cracks. Something isn't right. We're not right. Our family isn't right. The world isn't right. So we long for the renewal that only Jesus can bring. We pray for change. We actively, fervently wait. Our society doesn't make much room for longing. It seems we'd rather self-medicate our deep longings through various addictions or rampant commercialism. We entertain ourselves to death, to use the phrase from Neil Postman, because we'd rather avoid what's uncomfortable. And so we don't allow ourselves to grieve or long. First, let me say that Advent is a good time to grieve. Some of you have lost someone or something this past year. If you need an excuse to feel the struggle or pain and long for Jesus' renewal, now or in eternity, Advent is your excuse. Longing isn't the same as despairing. It's turning our deep concerns toward Jesus. We long for God and God's fullness to make things new and bright because right now we sense they are decaying and dark. Advent is a season to long, to pray in every dark corner of our hearts and every dark corner of our world. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Advent is also a season, as I said, to belong. As we remember, we don't do faith alone. As we face our longings and the world's longings for God's renewal, we do so together as brothers and sisters. There is also a big, wide invitation, even urgency, to ensure in this season that we step toward one another and not shrink back. That means worshiping and praying together in all the ways we can connect this month through the life of our church. It means looking out for those around us who find December pretty darn difficult. So we don't selfishly shut ourselves away in this season if we can help it, but we ask who is around and who could use a place at our table, an invite to church, a friendly chat or question on the street. We can long together if we find ways to belong together. And that doesn't mean we have to fill the calendar to excess. It just means we're attentive to whom is before us, for their sakes, for our own sakes. Don't dismiss how powerful a moment with someone or a word of kindness can be in this season. Imagine if God has, in fact, put you in that very place and time to bring light to someone sitting in darkness. Can we take this a step further? Consider this season who and how you might invite into this church community. Loneliness is a deep sickness in our society. So can we invite someone to join in with us through helping hands? Can we risk an invite to church even? I think people are more ready and hungry than ever, even than they were maybe 10 years ago. The cynicism is still there, certainly. But post-pandemic, the world faces some big, hairy questions. And there's an openness. In other words, somewhere inside, I think people know they need a savior. So with great love and great respect, can we ask who we've been placed among to invite to come and see the baby this December? Finally, Advent is also a season to land. We've already been talking about landing as everyone's being invited to get involved with helping hands these past weeks. Advent is about anticipating Jesus' arrival among us. And one of the ways we can do that is to roll up our sleeves, landing among the needs of others ourselves. If you've not yet considered a way to serve or help someone else in this coming season, now's the time to prioritize the embodiment of the season. Jesus was sent. Jesus arrived among us. And now we're sent to share with our words and our actions the love of God, life to life. Advent and Christmas reminds us that God did not keep his distance. And God's example is open to us to follow today. Will we keep our distance? Be shut up and blinds and lock the doors? Or as Jesus himself called his disciples to be, will we be a light to the world? Light spreads and is sent. This is going to be a great season ahead. Helping Hands is off and running. Our networks have several great events as well. Sundays are shaping up to be special. Next week, December 3rd, we're going to share a generosity update that's very exciting. There's been incredible giving this year in the midst of a tough economy. This church continues to be generous because Jesus is generous, and it's humbling. December 10th, our kids will join us for part of the service with a song or two and some inevitable chaos. We love being together in those moments. December 17th, the vocal ensemble is coming together and it's actually gaining quite a bit of momentum. It's looking more like a choir, so we might end up going full sister act. Who knows? And each Sunday, Dave, Kirsten, and myself will share in a series called Good News, Great Joy, all people. The message way back in Luke chapter 2 brought at Jesus' birth. "Don't be afraid," said the angel. "I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today, a Savior has been born." Along with that, we're going to hear stories from people about how they met Jesus and how Jesus continues to bring them good news and make them agents of good news in everyday life. And of course, as we've heard, Christmas Eve will be here before we know it. So who can we invite to join us? Let's not let the season rush us by. Fun and frantic as it is, let's also let it be deeply formational. All the people hung on his words. Lord Jesus, as we again enter the sparkly season, the noisy season, for some the dark and lonely season, may we hear you and see you clearly. Help us to hear and see you in ordinary life. Let us not only learn the scriptures, but live the scriptures, and this next month embody your light and life to everyone around us. Thank you for loving us enough to turn up and tell us yourself. Let us love one another and those beyond enough to do the same. In Jesus' name we sit together. Amen. Bless you as you go into this week. We'll see you soon.